Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Margaret from Do the Right Thing. Thank you for listening to this. This is my own project called Crushed. If you're a fan of Do the Right Thing, I hope you'll definitely be a fan of Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith. And if you want to go over to our stream, it's not called a stream, what's it called? Anyway, go and subscribe there. You know what I mean. Don't make me explain it. We've got loads of brilliant ex-Do the Right Thing guests, including Sarah Kendall, Richard Herring and Sarah Pascoe. And then this one coming up, which is a very special chat between me and Danielle Ward. And boy, did we have to cut a lot of stuff from this.
Hello and welcome to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, a podcast about the delights and darknesses of unrequited love. My guest today is the uber-talented comedy writer and reformed stand-up, Danielle Ward. Hello. Hello. Are you going to behave on this podcast?
Oh, have you heard the one I did with Izzy City?
Yes, you've had less to drink today, so
I'm
thinking...
really hungover, though.
Okay, so you'll just be incoherent.
I'll just be slightly incoherent. Okay. Giddy.
Giddy.
I'll be giddy.
All right. Wow, that's a promise. So, Danielle, you don't strike me as somebody who goes in for crushes.
Oh.
Do you? And would you... Did you ever, if you don't now?
Do you mean, like, so, like... See, this is why I'm being hungover. No, I don't think I've had one like really big crush, like the big unrequited love of my life when I was 16, and that's
just for 1 year.
No, for 5 years.
Oh, wow,
it was
okay.
A biggie.
Yeah,
and
but starting when you were 16.
Starting when I was 16. Well, starting when I was 17. It's when I started college. When I was at school, there was literally not a single man/boy I fancied in my vicinity. Like there was no one.
Wow.
I don't remember ever fancying anybody at school at all.
And you went to a mixed school?
I went to a comprehensive. Wow. And everything.
Like
a little urchin.
Right, so that's why these boys, way too common.
Yeah, well, I've only dated public school guys, so
oh,
maybe that's where the gap was, right?
Oh, this is awful already. Public school guys as well. What's that? So not even a teacher? Lab assistant?
No. Well, I went to a comp. We didn't have lab assistants.
I went to a comp. We had a bloody lab assistant.
It was Catholic school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still posh.
Oh, wow. Well, let's not get into how posh religion is.
There was no one at my school at all that I fancied.
Okay.
Even remotely.
Until the age of 16.
Until the age of 16, when I went to a sixth form college, so my school didn't do A-levels. And I met Dan Barrett, who...
Public school guy?
No, he'd been to it. Well, I didn't go out with him, though. This is the point.
Once you found out.
I only go out with them if they've been to public school. Oh, yeah, give me that 3%. Any
sexy
of the Tory cabinet, I am there.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's my standard. So I found out recently Matt Hancock is exactly 1 week older than me.
Well, I found out that Liz Truss is exactly the same age.
No!
Yep, to the day.
No!
I know.
That's incredible.
I know.
The life you could have had. You
being
could have
looked down
the
upon as an idiot, as a mad idiot. I mean, that is what I've got, isn't it? Just by fewer people.
Instantly thinking about casting Liz Truss in Sister Psycho. How brilliant would that have been?
I mean, can you imagine? I wonder if she did do shows.
She doesn't look like a showy lady.
No. Okay. let's not go down the Liz Truss rabbit hole. So, Dan Barrett.
I really fancied him. And we were became really good friends. What has happened to me a number of times is I've deformed.
I've noticed that just during this interview, to be honest.
I have formed intense friendships with men that have then ended up with some banging, and then you're not friends anymore.
Yeah. And at what stage does the crush? Does the crush happen before you do you become friends because you've?
Yeah, I don't think I can fancy someone if I don't know that. Like, it just doesn't. Like, even if someone looks incredible, if I don't know them and if they're not funny, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If someone's not funny, they're not going to get anywhere. And so I met Dan, and also I really fancy people with the same name as me, which I think
that's
might make
type.
Me a narcissist.
Yeah. Do they look like you as well?
They don't look like me, but I've realised that most of the people that I've had any sort of relationship with either called Dan or have got names begin with a D. So Narrowing down my type.
Yeah.
Men. Always a man.
Always a man. Boring.
Name begins with D. Public school. Educated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so. I bet your husband's really pleased. That's all he had to do to win your
favour. He ticked all the boxes. All two boxes. but Dan Barrett, yeah, I met him. He was really funny. And we, formed this quite intense friendship. And I had such a huge crush on him. He went out with one of my friends. Then he went out with another one of my friends. And all this time. And then he went off to university. He went to UCL. And I went to Cardiff. And we were in constant touch. He was one of the only people that I ever emailed. Just when emailing was taking off. And what ended up happening was we'd had this really intense friendship for about 5 years. I went to Moscow. Came back, he finally told me that he was in love with me, and then ghosted me. Literally never heard from the cunt again. And that's when I started being a stand-up. And my early material was all about him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
really?
literally I started doing stand-up as an act of revenge.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. But okay, so you were talking about the ghosting. So he told you he loved you.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that you said finally, as if you knew that he was in love with you. Okay. Why did it take him that long?
Well, he was in a relationship.
With someone he...
Yes, with someone.
Didn't
Who he ended
like
up marrying, actually. And then divorcing.
So you don't need to do stand-up anymore.
I don't need that. So I feel
you made that
as soon as he got divorced, I didn't have to do stand-up anymore. That's when I stopped.
Yeah, I love this. I love this narrative. And when he told you were you together? Was it in person?
It was in person. Yeah, I'd flown back from Moscow. I stayed at his flat that night. Nothing happened. So that's what it was, literally nothing. We've only ever kissed. Nothing's ever happened between us.
But, you know a kiss is something.
A kiss is barely anything. I think if you can do it on telly, it doesn't count.
We don't have time to unpick the nonsense that is.
Do you not think?
People have sex on telly, you know that?
Not.
Not really. You look so sad. I mean, to be honest, yes, they do have real sex.
Not.
Have you seen Love Island?
Oh, no, I mean like in an acting way.
They are having real sex.
What?
Yeah,
actors?
They are. Grewy in 9 songs having sex.
Oh, that's the only one, though.
Anything you can do on telly doesn't count. I mean, I don't know what to do with that. But okay, so you snogged. Did you snog? Did he tell you he loved you and then you snogged? Was it as romantic as that? Okay. And then what?
And
did
then...
you talk? Through the night?
No, chatting through the night. I fell asleep in a completely
you
separate
fell
room.
Asleep immediately. I love you, snog, fall asleep.
I am fast asleep. I went to sleep next day. I'm like, oh wow, I wonder what's going to happen. Left his house to go home because he was living in London, and I think I was back with my parents because it was between finishing university, and then I went to Moscow for a bit. And then I lived at home and then moved to London and literally never heard from him again.
And did you want something to happen?
Yeah.
Were you like, so did you say, I love you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like totally. And, you know, this has been a long, this is like 5 years this crush has been going on. And I'd, you know, I really, he knew how I felt about him.
I was going to say, so when did he know all along?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm pretty sure like when I was 18, that's when I sort of told him before he went off to UCL. And he was like, oh, I'm going to go out with your friend instead. And that was pretty devastating.
Is that how he put it? I'm gonna go out with your friend.
No, he didn't tell me. Like I found out through someone else that he'd started seeing this friend, not like a good friend or anything. He started seeing Debbie Garrett.
Because they rhymed. But you see, that's why.
that's sort of like your thing. Yeah. So he started going out with her. I don't know why. She's rubbish.
You think that was an act of revenge? Like, what happened? So you confessed that you liked him.
Yeah, so, and then
just before university, which is a speciality of mine, by the way.
it's a good move.
Yeah.
He went off to university, but yeah, like he didn't tell me he was dating Debbie, and I found out, and she like was still, because I was a year younger than him, so we were still doing our A-levels. So she was still at my college, and so he was having like this long distance thing with her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was I didn't like her very much.
I was going to say what was rubbish about her. I mean, possibly not a route we should go down.
No,
but,
I'm sure.
But do you think that he liked you more than her?
Yeah, that's why I found it really weird. That it was a really weird move. I mean, she was very tall. Maybe some guys
need
don't like
light bulbs changing. Sure.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether that is, this is absolutely the sort of thing I was telling myself at around that time, but I wonder if there is a possibility that if you like someone too much, it's just a bit much to sort of go, oh, right, am I committing to this person? Because if I commit to this person, I might have to be with them forever.
Yeah, I can, yeah, I think it's probably that. I think it's too much.
Let's say that. But Debbie's not the one that he ended up marrying and divorcing.
No, he by the time that I'd finished university, so this is like 5 years after we'd first met, he was in a relationship with someone else. And that's why, obviously, it's a bit naughty of him to kiss me.
Yeah.
While I say, if you could do it on telly,
it's still naughty.
It's still naughty.
We wouldn't be happy to find out.
No, that is not the sort of thing. Just if my husband's listening, that's not a free pass to go around kissing ladies. You can kiss them on the telly. I'm all right with that.
Why do you think anyone becomes an actor?
He had to kiss someone on stage recently, and I was watching the pyrotechnics. I didn't watch that bit.
Did you turn your face away?
Well, I tried. I was looking at other stuff. I just never.
Why? What was it?
I didn't want to look at the kiss.
You didn't want to look at what he looks like when he's kissing.
Yeah.
In case it looks bad and that.
Yeah,
he's rubbish
kissing a woman. I don't watch my husband kissing a woman.
Ah, that feels very.
I wouldn't watch him do a sex scene either.
No, but I feel like that's more. I don't know. Isn't that more about embarrassment than? Do you feel jealous? Would you feel jealous?
No, I think it probably is embarrassment, actually. Now you've unpicked it. It probably is.
That could put me off kissing him forever. I want to go back to... Well, actually, what I want to do is go back to pre-Dan Barrett, because this whole I didn't fancy anyone thing is not really ringing true. I get that you didn't fancy anyone in your school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there must have been crushes. So, famous people?
Loads of famous people.
Yeah, okay.
Couldn't keep them out of my pants.
Don't know what that means. I'm picturing you making little dolls of them. Please don't tell me you did that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I definitely did that. I'd get a Barbie doll. I'd cut out a picture from a magazine.
A Barbie doll. Yeah. And we've established you don't like women. But who's got Ken?
I tell you what I genuinely used to do is bite the feet.
Go on.
Bite the feet off my Barbies.
Oh, no, they're very, very, yeah, you really, she's doing a thing with her hands and I really know what she means.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. Yeah.
No, I think all of our Barbies' feet were chewed.
Oh, that's not a normal thing. That's
not
good.
Sexy, though.
No, not sexy.
So who was the first person you fancied?
I, I was about 4 or 5, so I'm not going to use the term fancy, but yeah, I was definitely fascinated by. There was 2 at the same time, I remember very clearly. The first one was Adamant.
Very good
choice. In the stand and deliver video.
Yeah. Oh, did you put plasters on your face? Because I did.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, he's so beautiful, and that video is so sexy. Really quite drawn to him. And then the other one was Dennis Waterman in Minder.
Because he began with a D and no other reasons. No, he was quite fit.
Yeah, in Minder, I think.
Yeah, I think that sort of that sort of 80s thing of like a lot of hair.
Yeah, lots of hair, bit of rough.
Yeah, a bit of rough.
Yeah, to go alongside my dandy, jacket. One of each.
You do need one of each. You see, I think I wanted to be Adamant more than... I mean, he clearly was very beautiful, but I really wanted to be a highwayman
what a job.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got your dandy and your bit of rough.
Dandy and a bit of rough, yeah.
Classic types. So, and you were fascinated. You were fascinated with Dennis Waterman. Doesn't seem right.
I didn't fancy him.
No.
I just remember having... Like, yeah, it's not a sexual thing. It's just a... I don't know. Fascinated is the only word that fits. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was fascinated by Dennis Waterman.
But did you picture... I mean, probably not at 4 or 5. Were you picturing some sort of life together with either of them?
Probably not with either of those. I think when I got a bit older. When I got to Christopher Reeve... Superman.
Oh, this is the second time he's come up.
I mean, he's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Also, Clark Kent's a really funny character. Superman is a really boring character.
Interesting. Clark Kent's so you've got funny. Your two.
Yeah,
again.
Got my two again, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. So, but which did you fancy more?
Oh, Clark Kent, definitely.
Yeah, and you know that he's fit underneath.
Yeah,
the,
you know,
the
he's super ripped underneath glasses. That suit, which is always...
Actually, I think that's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want other people seeing it. I just want to know it's there.
I don't want him there in his pants, displaying it to the world.
No, that's wrong. Or flying away, I mean, yeah. So, and that was sexual?
I think that was sexual, yeah.
Do you remember your... This is a weird question.
It's like 11.
Your first sexual stirrings?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I've been listening to Emma Forrest's audiobook, and man, she bangs around, and she talks about how she found herself sexually fascinating, and I think probably just me.
Good answer. Well, I was actually going to say, I think often it really isn't as straightforward as seeing a person and going, I sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, your body
it's
is
It's more an
doing
exploration
stuff.
Of yourself. I mean, I've done stand-up about the fact that I was masturbating at 10, so...
Yeah.
I didn't need any guys. That's probably why I didn't fancy anybody at school. I was like...
No need. No need.
Not
my body
a
is
fucking
a playground.
Need.
Well, so I can remember... I wasn't doing that, but I can remember straddling the arm of an armchair, right? And feeling a sort of pulse.
Yeah.
And sort of trying to check what was happening, like standing up suddenly and trying to look... at it. That was that didn't really work, but that probably was the first stirrings of of anything
it's
sexual.
It's not about I don't think it is about other people at that stage. It's about yourself and finding out what you're, and that's why it's terrible when lots of women don't do that, because they don't get the whole hands off, and they wait till they're like older and a man explores them, or a woman, or somebody who is non-binary, and it's never about themselves.
Yeah. And then they've got no idea. Yeah. And let's face it, the man probably doesn't know.
Yeah, he's not going to have a clue.
Not even got the right bits. So you were doing that. You were doing you.
I was doing me. My first relationship was with myself, and it was very enjoyable.
But with Dan Barrett,
yeah.
that was all of this coming together.
Yes.
And did you picture a life with him?
Yeah, I definitely did. I was like, oh, this is because I hadn't fancied anybody in real life before. So it was like, oh, that's what it feels like. And the fact that I've waited so long means that I pick you.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I was reading something the other day about how first love, I might have mentioned this before, but first love is just too big. It's too big. And so it's just doomed to failure, because whoever it is you're investing in. Yeah. And it sounds like this might have been what happened, because probably you were his first... I mean, we don't know. Yeah. The jury's out whether he had a crush, an actual crush on you. But this very, very intense relationship with a girl, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. It can't live up to anything. It can't settle into a supermarkets and, you know, having kids. And
council tax bills, all that stuff.
All that. Texts about light bulbs.
Yeah,
you know.
It's quite nice to have the, you know, that time ring-fenced as something where you weren't having to deal with any of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, especially as that then led to your career.
Yes. I mean, I'm very grateful for that heartbreak, because I genuinely don't think I'd have done stand-up without a real drive to slag this man off publicly. If I'd have been any good at graphic design, I'd have done some posters instead.
Handed them out at tube stations.
I'd have been leafleting all around the Holloway Road area.
Do you remember did you try to contact him? Presumably you did.
Yeah, when I say, like, he did ghost me, but he did send me an email, like, the next day saying, I'm in a relationship, this, like, nothing can happen. And then literally ghosted me. So whenever I sent an email, no reply, no replies to texts, nothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was quite brutal, because he'd been my best friend. That was the thing. It wasn't like the crush side of things is obviously devastating, but that was my best friend. That was the person I spoke to all the time. So,
yeah. So how did you...
Didn't deal with it very well. I did not deal with it very well.
Okay, go on. Tell me how you dealt with it. Apart from the crazy revenge stand-up.
I went into stand-up. I was just really self-destructive. I just didn't know how to deal with it. Self-destructive in lots of horrible, brutal ways. I think that's when my 20s were a bit of a mess, because it sort of, this had all happened. I'd lost this friendship. I hadn't dated anybody, so like I'd never had a boyfriend. There was no one else. And yeah, it was just a bit of...
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, because then that becomes... That was your placeholder, and
yeah.
So that's then gone.
Yeah, like all of my romantic attention was probably, it funneled into this relationship that was a friendship. And so, yeah.
And then you've lost both. You've lost the potential of the romantic relationship and your actual friendship.
And my actual friendship, and yeah, so.
Did you dive into other relationships?
No.
Have you had a boyfriend yet?
I think I might be a really bad guest.
No.
Because so after that, I ended up, I've had three relationships that I would class as, you know, proper. One with someone who I genuinely dislike. And
did you dislike him at the time?
I don't think I ever liked him.
Wow, okay.
No, I know, that's horrible, isn't it? It's really, I think it is. I know why I went out with him, right? He had dated someone who Dan Barrett had also dated. They both dated this girl called Claire. And I think just that connection was enough. And so I ended up going out with someone who I
to
don't...
To make a point.
To make a point. Might get back to Dan Barrett. He wasn't going to email or text, so, you know, maybe by sleeping with someone that vaguely knew his ex.
Oh, my God, yeah, this is a brilliant plan. That will definitely win a boy's heart.
Yeah.
So, to prove that you...
But that wasn't... It wasn't like an awful relationship. Just, you know...
Never liked him.
No, that sounds really mean. But he was also not very nice sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think it does. I mean, I think people get into relationships for all kinds of weird reasons. And, I mean, I remember saying to a friend... have you ever slept with someone that you didn't fancy? And she said, oh, no. Well, only boyfriends. But we all know where she's coming from.
Yes. Yes. When I told my husband I was coming on this podcast this morning, he was like, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. And I was like, yeah. And he said, who are you going to talk about? And I said, well, I don't know, because I've not really had many crushes on people that aren't famous, to be honest. And he said, well, what about me? So I did have a crush on my husband.
Well, I remember you having a crush on your husband. Not when he was your husband.
No,
that would be weird. But I remember you talking about him. But I know, to me, that doesn't really count.
No, I don't think it counts either.
Partly because it was sort of obvious that it might happen. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It wasn't a kind of crazy, oh my God, I think I like someone and I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about this and making plans in my head.
Yeah.
It was like, I fancy someone and we're spending a lot of time hanging out and we're building up to something probably happening, which is a much more healthy and sensible thing.
That's a normal way of doing it.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so what about these famous people?
Famous people. So I had a really big crush on Chris Barry.
Did you?
Yeah.
Weirdly ripped.
Weirdly Chris ripped, Barry. Right? Oh my God. I mean, he's so ripped in, is it series 5 or series 4? Or maybe both of them. Series 5 is the most ripped though. The one where he has sex with Jane Horrocks, he's so ripped. Fuck me.
But did you fancied him before the rippedness? It wasn't just that he was a funny character.
Did you fancy his character? Yeah, no. No one fancies Chris Barry either.
Oh, God, I don't know which is weirder.
His website's gone a bit strange.
Oh, I know. It's a real global theory.
Oh, yeah. So,
or do you fancy Gordon Britt? Even weirder.
I think, as I'm saying it, I realise how weird this is. I think I just really liked his body.
Well, you mean you're right, in comedy, you don't get many ripped bodies.
But also, how can the first person whose body I fancied, how can it be Chris Barry? That doesn't make sense.
No, you're the one. I mean, I don't have the answers.
Oh my God.
Well, no, be fair, Christopher Reeve.
Yes. But I think Chris Barry, though, I think he was more sexual because I was a bit older.
Yeah, no. And that's presumably, I know you're a massive Red Dwarf fan.
Yes.
Presumably that was a big part of your identity and you were sort of going, this is mine, this is my thing, these are the people in my world and in my head sort of thing. You almost have to pick one. It's like a boy band.
You have to pick your favourite one, don't you?
Yeah. And he's a very talented man. And
voice
it's a very
mimic.
Funny. Did you do anything about it?
I didn't do anything about Chris Barry. I've met Chris Barry once. I went to
his house. I
went to a Red Dwarf recording, one of the later series, so it wasn't great.
Doesn't count.
Your husband's
in
Red
Dwarf.
Yes, I
know.
Dwarf,
I remember that's how you got to.
Yeah.
To see it.
But yes.
You met him. How did it go?
The body's not there anymore, so I was barely
interested.
Did you
feel
nothing? I was really starstruck. I really loved Red Dwarf growing up. I was like totally into it. It was my thing. I loved comedy, so I was super starstruck. Yeah, I didn't say anything.
What did you?
Just sort of. I literally didn't speak to him. I was in the same room at like the green room.
The green room. Yes.
I'm not really in showbiz circles anymore. The green room.
Yeah. So did you say anything to him.
Didn't say anything to him.
Oh, wow. Was he just standing in front of... I mean, I met Alistair McGowan. I mean, I wasn't particularly starstruck by Alistair McGowan, but I did say to him, hello, I'm Alistair, which is sort one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. And he was just like, okay. Yeah. I don't think I even said who I was after that. I was like, it's best you don't know. I might leave.
I think I've realised when you're friends with famous people and you see how much that they get grumpy or weird around people talking to them, I just don't talk to any... Like, if I don't know them, I don't want to be that fan.
Yeah.
And the only person that I ever, like, properly spoke to and said, oh, I really love your stuff, I met Luke Haynes, the musician, at a Robin Ince gig.
Who you do expect to be grumpy and weird anyway.
Yes, he was incredibly grumpy and weird, but I also wish I hadn't spoken to him.
Oh, really? Why?
The first time, so I met him twice, and the first time I said, I really love After Murder Park, it's one of my favourite albums. He went, oh, thank you very much. And then the next time I met him, he was a real dick, so...
Oh, that's a shame. But what did you say to him that time?
I think it was just
did you give him notes?
I was just enthusiastic. I was like, trying to be a fan, and I don't think he's one of those people that doesn't respond to that, so...
Yeah, it's really tricky. I think sometimes you have to go, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to say... I really love your work or whatever it is, and then just sort of give them a chance to respond, but then go.
But then go.
You know, I remember seeing Chris, what's his face from, not Heartbreak High. Is it Heartbreak High? What's that?
Oh, Chris Lilley.
Chris Lilley, yeah. With a friend who I won't name because she'd hate it, but we both really loved him. We saw him outside a cafe and I said, oh God, we've got to go and say how much we love him. So we went up and said, hi, just wanted to say I really, really love your work. And he was very nice. He said, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm doing some gigs or whatever. And then and I was like, well, anyway, don't want to disturb you, but thank you very much. And then she just stood there staring, but she looked like she was going to say something else. So I waited for a little bit.
Oh, no.
And then I just took her by the hand and led her away. And I think she just felt like something was going to come to her to say, as you do. And if you sort of want to, you know, make something of it. You want your moment. Yeah. You want to be able to say something good. But the truth is, there's very little you can say. It's not going to start a relationship, you know. And once you've said, I think you're great, they don't want to hear anything
else. Don't want to hear anything
else. They don't want to hear your opinions about... Oh, you know about Bob Mortimer when he met Sinead O'Connor? He asked if there was if she had a local shop near her. and again, really regrets it, I think, because she was just like, yeah, or no, or, you know, whatever. But I think he wants to say something a bit different.
Yeah.
But there's no way out.
I'm sort of glad that I never met David Bowie or Prince or anybody like that, because I'd have just been a dick.
Yeah, you'd have got it wrong. My friend also met Morrissey, and stupidly, I mean, this is in the days before we all know what we know about Morrissey, but he stupidly said to him, I think you're the second most important music artist of your, you know, and understandably Morrissey was like, well, who's the first? And he was like, well, David Bowie. And he was like, And that was the entire exchange. But it's like, yeah, you ruined that.
You can't neg a pop star. They don't.
No, it was. But you know, it was just the truth. Yeah. You know, just but to him, it's like, listen, I've thought about this loads. I think you're amazing.
Yeah.
But you just don't need to mention anyone else. You don't need to rank.
If my husband said to me, you're the second best shag I've had, I'd be like, what?
And I know that is what he did. Yeah. He's always getting his list out and telling me about it. No, it's very...
It might be true, I just don't want to hear it.
No, exactly. No, we all accept that it is, it could easily be the truth, but don't bother saying it. And if that's your one conversation that you're having, then you just don't need to bring up. But did you have a crush on Luke Haynes?
No. Well, I sort of did, but in that way that I know he's not attractive. When I
love unattractive people, don't you? Absolute weirdo.
I love his music so much, but I know I wouldn't want to have sex with him. I know I wouldn't want to have had sex with him in 1996, but I still kind of am I think I've told you this before. I once went on a couple of dates with someone who looked like Tom York, but that's not true. Tom York is great, right?
Because he's Tom York.
Because he's Tom York.
Yeah.
Someone who looks like Tom York isn't
the worst of all worlds. So mean, I'm sorry. But at the same time, like, I remember feeling a genuine sort of affection for all of those really super skinny boys. When Jarvis Cocker got big,
yeah,
became a sex symbol, I was so delighted for these skinny boys because all they had to do was buy a cheap suit and hang out at indie discos, and they pulled so much more.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, good on you. Similar to Ed Sheeran and Lewis Capaldi. They are, you know, they are being different types. They are not the Chris Barry of the boy band world. But just sort of going, look, you can find all manner of stuff attractive.
It just, like, I feel like I'm in therapy and I've just realised that the first hot body I fancy was Chris Barry's. Jesus.
I think it reflects very well on you. not superficial.
I'm not
you,
superficial, clearly.
And what age was that then? That was...
That must have been about 14, okay. 15.
So was the did the real guy replace Chris Barry?
He
or
did.
Was it alongside?
I think, like, the Chris Barry thing was in the... I think once the Dan Barrett thing happened, that opened up proper men. Sometimes still celebrity crushes.
Yeah.
But pre him, I think everybody was quite... It was quite a naive sort of fancying. Once I'd sort of hit 16, I had my first kiss at 17. That's when, like, I could have sex with these people. I mean, I don't think I ever put sex and Chris Barry together.
I wish the listener could see what you just did with your pointing then. It was really weird. Pointing at your tits. No, I think you're right, though. I think even when you are turned on and you're sort of looking at something that's aesthetically pleasing, I can't believe we're objectifying Chris Barry like this. But we are. But you're not imagining yourself
around. You're not. Yeah, it's not that sort of fantasy. It's just, I like them, and I'm my body and my hormones are exploring what that means.
Yes.
Whereas once I met Dan Barrett, it also became more real. The feelings became more real. The fancying became more real. The 90s comedians became more. That makes it sound like it's Stuart Lee. It's not. I fancied all of the 90s comedians,
sure,
except David Baddiel.
Okay, right. So you fancied all of them.
Yeah.
How many did you end up getting off with?
None.
Oh, me neither.
There were some approaches. So the weirdest collision of crush and reality was when I was at university and I went to see one of the comedians do a solo show down in Cardiff. And he had a reputation, I think he still has a reputation, as a bit of a shagger.
Mm-hmm.
And but definitely back then. But I didn't know this because there was no internet, so I don't know. I don't know who a shagger is. I'd never been to the Fringe. And he... So I had to correct, but he was like
the crush,
the beautiful comedian. So I went to see this show. I was talking to him afterwards because I love comedy, and I don't think, like, it hadn't crossed my mind to get into comedy. Oh, I think maybe writing I was thinking about doing. And me and my friend Mel had written a very, very weird sitcom for the BBC when they first started doing their open, like, submissions. This was years and years and years ago. And it was about a boy band that had been paid by the government to put out propaganda.
I mean, this absolutely feels like a pitch, I'll be honest.
And so I was telling the beautiful comedian about this.
What were you now?
And he said, come back to my hotel room.
And we'll read it out together.
Oh, God. I mean, how I got through my 20s, I don't know. Right, so... But he actually, well, I don't know whether this is what happened. There was another woman who's a little bit older than me. And she said, oh, he wants to, he's invited us back to his hotel room. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
What, you were standing next to her?
Yes. And she said, so why don't, no, she said, oh, I can't remember.
You were like, fuck off, you haven't written a weird sitcom.
But she was older and I assume she knew what she was doing. So I ended up going back to the comedian's hotel room with this other woman, put the football on, and then started like doing the, oh, I hate it when men do this, it's really creepy, like rubbing her back. I always find that a bit gross.
Especially in front of some young
writer
who's got a script out.
I think the implication was there was going to be a threesome. Yeah.
Oh my God, I think I'd have fainted.
I hadn't even had sex at this point, so I'm not doing a fucking threesome. I mean, I wouldn't have done a twosome. I wouldn't have known what I was doing. No. You don't want to practice on someone off the telly. But the thing that really put me off was she was wearing a Winnie the Pooh bomber jacket. And I was like, I could not have sex with someone wearing a Winnie the Pooh bomber jacket.
Well,
and I can't believe
you're...
Yeah. I judge him very harshly for that. I'm
imagining quite a lot of static there.
All the blue dye coming off.
Very poor quality bomber jacket. How did you get out of that?
I just said, I'm going to go home now. Bye.
Did you... But this was someone you had a proper crush on.
I had a massive... Was this
the crush dying as you're watching?
Absolutely.
Yes.
If my crush had been a penis, it would have retracted. into my body at this point.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So this is what we should encourage all young girls to do. Go back to their hotel room.
Yeah, go.
You'll really go off them there can be no bad... outcomes.
It's
don't do that. Massive disclaimer, don't ever go back.
I don't think for a second it crossed my mind I would end up having sex with this person, any of them, any of the people in the room, but I was genuinely curious as to what happened, did he just get his knob out, and I still want to know
and I'm not doing that either, but how does this, you know, when people say... we used to do a podcast panel show together, and I remember talking about this. About people who say, well, it was a bit awkward, so I slept with him. And I'm always like, but I don't know how that happens. No. I don't know how you end up going from one state of affairs, the sort of awkward chat, to the, you know, getting everything off and getting your bits.
No, I don't get it. I mean, I know she definitely slept with him because I saw her in Sainsbury's a week later and she told me she did.
Are you going to keep that to yourself? Did you know her?
No, I didn't know her at all. Like, I literally...
You recognised the bloody bomber jacket.
It was that. She still had... She had the bloody bomber jacket on, and that's how I knew it was her. And she said, oh, we had a great night. And I was like, oh, did you? She goes, yeah. And then, I mean, she started to try and tell me details. I'm like, I don't want to know. I removed myself from the situation because I thought it was gross and seedy.
That sounds a little bit like, for her, it was a hobby...
Rather than,
absolutely no problem with that at all.
Well, remember, there was no Tinder back in the day, so you had to...
And you do sort of think, I do feel like some, usually women, but probably anyone, who just sort of collect... Like, I know that there are some famous people who are just like, I think people just like the story, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you collect an anecdote, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, done that one. Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, it was just a bit, the whole groupie thing was just a bit, there was no effort to make it sexy or romantic. It was just weird and awkward and football, and I very much wanted to leave.
Do you remember what he said when you said, I'm off, you put your bag on?
Well, he had another one, didn't he? He had a backup.
No, but that's what I mean, but was there even a, all right.
I don't remember. I don't know if he remembers who I am. I don't, like, he might not even remember that it happened, but I just find him a bit ick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was beautiful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not Chris Barry. But was that the only time that you had a crush that died in quite... that's sort of an amazing story, isn't it? It's such an amazing example of you have your big crush where you... And you get the opportunity to do what you thought you wanted to do.
Yes.
And then you realise the reality God. Has that happened with
I think that's the only time that that's been like... Because it's such a, it feels like such a weird thing to have happened. This beautiful man off of the telly who's really funny, I go and see him do a gig, he invites me to his hotel room, and it's just like,
yeah, I suppose the only thing better was if that was all amazing and then you got together and had a beautiful relationship.
And had a beautiful life, yeah.
For a long time, like Gary Numan and...
Pepsi and Shirley.
Wow. That's just libel. Slander, whichever it is. No, you're completely confusing your 80s icons. Gary Newman married the president of his fan club.
Oh.
Gary Kemp. And it wasn't even Gary Kemp, it's Martin Kemp, is married to just one of Pepsi and Shirley. Okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you cleared that.
Yeah, I'm glad I cleared that. No, so presumably, you know, sometimes you fall into something and it turns out the crush turns
you
into something
fall
else.
Into a vagina. And it all works out.
Yeah. We should get Gary Newman on this.
He'd be really good.
So did you have any crushes like that on real people apart from, like, post-Dan Barrett? Or was it all going out with people you didn't like slash had a normal time?
I haven't had those big crushes since I was in my 20s, I don't think. I mean, I've been with my husband since I was 30, so mm-hmm. it's sort of...
So you never... And your husband famously only fancies you and Florence Pugh.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because that must be quite recent. She's very young. But do you have crushes on celebrities ever still? And are you open about that if you do?
It's not something that we really talk about. I think if I said to my husband, I've got a crush on, I don't know, Tom Hardy, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to meet him. I think if I said, I've got a crush on Ben Walker.
Yeah, you're right. That would just be out of order. That would just be like, oh, right. What do you think this is? I mean, that's a cry for help. Again, no disrespect to Ben. He's just quite an attainable human. Yeah. He's very approachable.
Yeah, I also think that having a crush on someone that's in your orbit is maybe a bit disrespectful to your partner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, there's a reason that crushes are from afar.
Yes, they usually should be. They should be far away. And I don't, you know...
As soon as they are a bit near. Well, as we know from your stand-up situation.
Yeah, they're generally pretty...
It's like, oh, even Ryan Reynolds, presumably, you know, however hot they are,
yeah,
somebody somewhere is sick of their shit.
Yes.
Is the truth.
That is the truth.
We're all annoying.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so I am going to do the maths with you.
Okay. Oh, you've not asked me if anybody's had a crush on me.
Okay, Danielle.
Is that a thing that you ever ask? I don't know.
I mean, I'm very excited that you have insisted on being asked. Who's got a crush on you?
I don't think anybody ever has.
Well, that's just not true. It's just the truth is most people don't find out about them unless you are a pop star or whatever and get, you know, loads of letters. Most of the time people are not telling you. And also most of the time you don't want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind knowing a bit though. I'll be honest, I get nothing.
You've had that loads and I know you have.
I haven't.
You just ignore it. I don't believe you. Right, you have to pick your biggest crush.
Yes.
Who's it going to be?
Chris Barry.
Is it Chris Barry or is it... Which do you want to do?
I want to do Chris Barry.
All right.
I want to do the hot, ripped...
Rimmer. Hot Gordon Bosas. Okay. L-O-V... he's got, I know he's got one S. Poor little Danielle, pining after Chris Barry. Mm. It's only 47%.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not scraping
that's
a
not...
C, is it?
No. Oh, wow.
No, but that's probably...
But he's mad now, well, so... I mean, yeah. I wouldn't want him
and
these
you're
days.
Married.
He's mad and I'm married.
You just keep telling yourself. I can see how devastated you are. Thank you very much, Danielle Ward.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode. Please do go over to the Crushed by Margaret Cable and Smith feed and subscribe there. I can't imagine there'll be any more Ben Walker chat on any of the episodes, but you know, who knows? You might strike lucky. Thank you. Talk about Ben Walker. See you next time.
Listening to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, hosted by Margaret Caborn Smith and produced by Victoria Lloyd and Lindsay Fenner for Mighty Bunny Productions. If you can bear it, please like, subscribe, rate, and give us a nice review, as it helps me feel better about my life choices.